We are 1210 Dakota Country, KOKK in Huron. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. Friday night basketball last night, Huron Tigers were home and away with the Watertown Arrows. The girls had the home game. The boys were on the road. In the girls' game, Watertown had a double-digit lead in the first half. Huron Rally took a lead with about 5 minutes to go in the game, but Watertown steadied it and outlasted Huron in the girls' matchup last night, 49-45. Hilton Hines, 22 points to lead Huron. Huron now at 7-11 on the season. In the boys' matchup in Watertown, Huron took the lead early second quarter, led by as many as 13 in the third. Watertown did get it down to a single possession a couple different times late, but Huron hit some key free throws, got a late basket, and defeated Watertown 57-52. For Huron, Blake Elwine, 24 points, 10 rebounds. Anderson Porish, Davis Chase had 10 points apiece. Tigers are 13-5 on the season. Wrap up the regular season next week. Doubleheaders at O'Gorman Tuesday and home against Brandon Valley on Friday. Brandon Valley will also be senior night for the Tiger basketball teams. Other area basketball last night, girls scores. Wessington Springs cruised past James Valley Christian 54-20. North Central 49, Sunshine Bible 25. Redfield rolled over Teopsa Zena 56-25. Double A girls scores, Jefferson 55, Lincoln 38, Washington 67, Roosevelt 47, T area 53, Yankton 36, Pier upended number 4 Mitchell 48-47, and Aberdeen thumped Brookings 57-26. A look at boys scores, first from the area, Wessington Springs defeated James Valley Christian 80-63. For Springs, ranked number 4 in Class B, Ryder Mahalik, 19 points, Parker Graff, 17, Colby Flowers, 15 points, 13 rebounds. DeSmit rolled over Oldham Ramona Rutland, 62-29. Bulldogs got 21 points from Slayton Wilkinson. Gannon Henrich had 11, and Grant Wilkinson had 10. Potter County defeated Highmore Herald 65-55. Sunshine Bible edged North Central 47-44. And Redfield defeated Teopsa Zena 74-66. Double-A scorers last night. Mitchell pulled away in the fourth quarter and defeated Pier 53-44. Aberdeen 68, Brookings 58. Washington topped Roosevelt 55-42. T area 63, Yankton 44. And Harrisburg defeated O'Gorman 66-51. College basketball out of the Northern Sun. College teams are wrapping up the regular season this weekend or next. In women's score, Northern State defeated Sioux Falls 75-72. In the men's game, Sioux Falls defeated Northern 77-66. A look at the schedule for today. Region wrestling for the Huron Tigers today. Region 3A, this is the boys. Region 3A is at Cheyenne Eagle Butte. So the Tiger boys will be in Eagle Butte today. Need to finish in the top four to advance to the state wrestling tournament next week. Hockey, Huron plays today and tomorrow at Sioux Falls East today and at Sioux Center tomorrow, and that's the rundown of our local schedule for today. Minnesota Twins begin Grapefruit League play today down in Florida. They have games today and tomorrow and pretty much all here in the next week. The Twins, after a quiet winter, did sign some veteran additions here in the last few weeks. Outfielder Harrison Bader, relief pitcher Danny Colombe, and first baseman Ty France. Derek Falvey, Twins president of operations, says they'll still be open to having a little more roster flexibility.
Now, for us, we're trying to make sure that we stay flexible to potential options on our roster that might help us in different spots, or guys that can play around in some different places. The benefit to our roster is we have depth and flexibility, and a lot of guys can play in a lot of spots. It allows us to be creative and open-minded if something pops for us that we weren't expecting. So we'll continue to find ways to hopefully add to this group and go into the 25 season with a really good team.
Falvey goes into spring training optimistic, but of course everybody is.
You know, I look at our team and I feel like we can go compete with anybody. I believe that. I believe in the guys that are in this clubhouse. I believe in the staff. I know the way 2024 ended for us was disappointing. It left a bad taste in all of our mouths. And trust me, it fueled us through the offseason about how do we get better? How do we focus on the things we can control, you know, within our roster? And when you're that close to the end of the year and you come up short, that pain sticks with you. It sometimes dulls a little over time and sometimes sharpens. And I think for us, when we look at the team that we go into the season with, these guys are ready. They're motivated. They're prepared. Whereas, you know, we're healthy walking into spring training in a lot of spots where sometimes we've had questions in the past. So I feel good about the group. I feel good about what they learned last year. I feel good about the growth that they've shown. And ultimately, now let's get on the field and turn to 25.
Twins play their first exhibition game today against Atlanta, and then tomorrow they have Pittsburgh coming into Fort Myers. We do plan to have tomorrow's game on the air as long as all the hookups work and everything like that, as Twins baseball begins a brand new season here on KOKK. Up this morning on Dakota Sports Saturday, we'll talk here on Tiger Basketball with coaches Cody Kaufman and Tim Budenhagen, and we'll preview here on Tiger Boys Wrestling at the region meet today out in Eagle Butte with head coach Matt Goff. That's our Dakota Sports Saturday show coming up at about 7 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
And we're back here on Dakota Sports Saturday at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. First up is here on Tiger Girls basketball coach Cody Kaufman. The Tigers lose by 4 last night to Watertown, a game. Cody, you're never completely out of it, but only had one lead in the game. Kind of got yourself a little hole there in the second quarter. Girls did battle back, but give Watertown credit. They made plays when they needed to.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we didn't play a good first half. Offensively or defensively, you know, all week we talked about how, you know, Watertown has struggled to score the basketball. You know, previously, even though they've won games, they still have only scored, you know, 35 points a game, somewhere along that line. So to go into halftime and give up 24 points, you know, that just showed where our defensive intensity was. But part of that was because, again, you know, we struggled to break the press. We struggled to handle their pressure. Turnovers and then open, you know, we talked about wide open layups, you know, and that's what they got in the first half, where we didn't get enough shots to the quality of shots that we were looking for in the first half. And then, you know, I mean, we just didn't make many shots in the first half. So, yeah, I think, you know, we got down 11 in the second quarter, cut it to 7, I think, at halftime. But, you know, the defensive intensity just wasn't there, and that kind of continued throughout the whole game.
As you mentioned, fourth quarter, you know, we do rally. We take a lead with about 5 minutes to go in the game and ended up being our only lead of the game. But, you know, it's just kind of the way it goes. As the old cliche goes, you expend so much energy coming back, you finally get over the hump and then maybe just relax for a second. We miss the switch. They hit a three, take the lead right back, and then they were able to hang on for the win.
Yeah, you know, and that's, I mean, I think we say that every Saturday morning when we're in here, the old cliche of battling back, right? We somehow got to figure out how to start a game faster. I don't know if it's, you know, we got to change up something routine, something in the locker room, but every game is the same old, you know, same old song and dance of we get down early, we battle our way back, you know, and credit our girls in the third quarter. We did, you know, we battled back, you know, and then in the fourth quarter took that 2-point lead, you know, and then it's like everybody kind of took a sigh of relief, like, you know, we had a lead, you know, we didn't switch out on a screen or on a shooter. You know, she buries a shot. You know, then they go up one, which we're all right. We have the ball down one. We're fine with, you know, 4 minutes left. You know, we took a fourth shot, I thought, in the next possession, come back down. The same Remmers girl gets loose, drives baseline, which is a no-no in our defense, gets all the way to the rim, you know, makes a layup, and now we're down three. And then we're kind of battling back and forth. Score some shots or make some shots, you know, cut it to one, just kind of back and forth. And then in the fourth quarter, you know, we got them to miss a few shots late. You know, we missed some crucial rebounds where they could eat more clock. And then we had to get in the foul game and they made free throws to seal the game.
You know, and you look at some of the individual performances, nice night for Hilton Hines, although we pretty much expect that from her anymore. But, you know, 22 points, I think she was 50% on her shooting, both twos and threes. And overall, and I know talking to Matt last night, he said Abigail Harrington Abbey had a nice night, I think 7 points, but really kind of gritted it out trying to do all the dirty stuff.
Yeah, you know, you talk about Hilton, you know, 8 of 14 from the field, you know, 2 of 3 from 3, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. That's, you know, that's what you'll get out of Hilton. And we know, I mean, everybody that's followed them, Hilton struggled the last 2-3 weeks,
yeah.
You know, scoring the ball, shooting the ball. But, you know, everybody goes through that. We know that. That's part of the game. That's part of life.
Shooters got to shoot.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, she did a great job last night, you know, attacking. You know, something that's going to go unnoticed in this, you know, and the stat sheet is, you know, it has her down for 3 assists. But, you know, we kept setting a high ball screen for her and attacking it. And they were giving her different looks. Sometimes they are trapping it. Sometimes they are switching it. She did a great job of finding the role, which was Abby, for the most part. That's what we, you know, we tried to stack shooters on the outside. She'd get in and kick out and, you know, find shooters. So made a few adjustments on the offensive end last night that benefited her, I think, as well. Spread it out a little bit more, you know. So, yeah, good to see Hilton bounce back, like I said, after a 2-3-game stretch there where she'd struggled. But again, she's put in all the time. You know it's coming. You just got to, you know, you just got to shoot yourself out of the funk, and she did that last night. So,
and I know, I remember we were talking after the Aberdeen game last week. You know, she was 2 of 3 on threes. I mean, you've encouraged her to shoot more threes, but again, just three last night. And granted, you know, Watertown probably had a lot of focus on her defensively anyway.
Yeah, you know, and yeah, I mean, the more of those that she can take, obviously the more she can make, but the more that she can take, you know, the more that the lane's going to open up for her as well, as people got to rush out to her and make it tough. So, good night for Hilton last night. I thought, you know, like I said, not only scoring the ball, but distributing the ball as well. So, and then, yeah, you know, Matt's not wrong. I thought, you know, Abby played really well. She was at the back end of our press last night, and come up and was making plays. That was kind of the key to, you know, us getting back in. It was, you know, we're in the press, we made a few shots, we could get in a press, we could turn them over, and ultimately took the lead off of that. And a lot of it was, you know, they're throwing the ball over the top, and we could, you know, we didn't want our last line of defense just sitting at the rim, you know, letting them throw it over the top and praying that they miss a layup.
Come up, be aggressive.
Yeah, come up. And I mean, we didn't want to give up layups, right? So I get that they had a tough job, you know, be aggressive and steal that ball if you can, but also not give up a layup. And I thought Abby did a great job last night of being aggressive. And but again, it showed, you know, in practice. I thought the 4 days of practice leading up to last night might have been Abby's best practices of the year outside of probably early December. So you could see, you know, it was nice to have 4 days of practice because you could see the girls, some of them, you know, take the initiative to get better and work hard, and then there were some that were just, you know, there. You can tell that it's the end of February, we're a little tired, we're a little groggy, And last night, the kids that, you know, practice hard and played well in practice are the kids that got the more minutes last night, and that's how it's going to be going forward.
Yeah, you mentioned that. I was going to say, Jency Gergen, Haley Rogers had a good week of practice. They are awarded. They had some crunch time minutes last night.
Yeah, you know, and going into the season, that's what I kept telling everybody, right, is we have depth, you know, that I've never had before as the head coach. And, you know, so, you know, I always said, you know, is a potential to go 11 deep, you know. We went 9 deep last night, and, you know, some people got more minutes, some people got less minutes, and that's the way it's going to be going forward. I mean, we got to reward the kids that are busting their butts in practice every day, that show up and take it all seriously, you know, that work hard, that pay attention, that, you know, get the game plan, that type of thing. So then that can change, you know, day in, day out, game in, game out. But you know, that's gotta be the expectation going forward. And then, you know, carrying over into next year with a group that you only lose 2 girls, is the depth is still going to be there, and you're going to have to show up every day. You're going to have to give your all every day, or you might find yourself on the bench until you earn that back.
Well, now we look ahead. We're sitting here at 7-11, and well, you got to go against the best. And right now, we have the 2 best teams in AA right now on tap for next week. Tuesday, doubleheader at O'Gorman. Defending champions are undefeated. Then Friday, wrap up the regular season. Home doubleheader with Brandon Valley. They're 1-2 in the points here, as I'm looking at that. Their point differential for the season, O'Gorman's winning by an average of 27 points a game, Brandon Valley by 23 points a game. Brandon Valley, 2 losses, 1 to O'Gorman and 1 to Marshall, Minnesota, just a week or two ago, where I think Marshall's only got 2 losses over there in Minnesota. So I know it's a couple of giants on the schedule here to end it, but hey, that just makes you better as well. And hey, let's shock the world, shock the state, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we just got to show up and we got to make ourselves better, right? We know we have a giant hill to climb Tuesday and Friday, but we just got to make sure that we're executing, you know, to the best of our ability in those games, in that practice, and getting ourselves better. Because ultimately, after next week, you know, there's a bigger goal ahead, right? We got another game. No matter what happens next week on Tuesday and Friday, we got another game the next Friday. That, you know, is our goal still. And the nice thing about AA is you get to play one game, albeit it's not going to be an easy game, but it never is. We know that. And if we get just keep improving ourselves the next week, you know, through the O'Gorman game, through the Brandon Valley game, and then through the next week of practice to get ready for whoever we play in the Sodak 16, you know, and then we just got to show up and play a game. We got to find the all-around game. You know, I thought the 2-3 games before this, before last night, you know, our defense was pretty good. We struggled to score the ball. Thought last night we scored the ball pretty well, and we didn't play very good defense. So, you know, those are the things we got to shore up. We got to find a way to play a good all-around game and just keep getting better every day.
You know, and we sit at number 15, as I said, right now. And I know you said you've applied your engineer mind to try and work to see what could happen of this, that, and the other thing. Bottom line is seeds number 9 through 16 all have 7, 8, or 9 wins. There's a lot of balance in the, you know, the bottom half of the AA rank. So, you know, we could go. We know we're in the postseason. We know we're on the road. Other than that, it's up in the air for probably another week.
Yeah, I would say we won't have a very good idea until probably next Thursday, to be honest with you. But
well, there's even games going through next Saturday, right?
Yeah, yeah. There are. Yeah. Yeah, you know. So, but to have a better idea, but to be honest with you, I wish that I could leave it alone and not punch any numbers, but I can't leave it alone. So, my assistant coaches have probably heard me say 25 different scenarios of these teams winning this, and you know, we got need these teams to lose out, and unfortunately that's where we're at with it, right? We're rooting for teams or against teams to win or lose so that way that we don't get more bonus points or whatever. So sit and watch, you know, and then like I said, just keep taking care of us, taking care of ourselves every day. There's gonna be a ton of movement, you know, outside of, I think those top 3 are pretty well set. And then 4 through 16, not that 16 can get to 4, but there's going to be a lot of movement Through the next week of the final of the regular season.
You can't count on a surprise, and I guess maybe not as big a surprise as we might think, because Pierre is playing a lot better, but they knock off Mitchell. All of a sudden, there's Pierre sitting at number six. They've just kind of been a sleeper this year.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see Pierre finishing at number four when it's all said and done. So I think they got... Well, they got four. I think they still have four games left.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're just 10-6.
Yeah, so they still have four games left in the last week or whatever. I think they played a day and three next week. So if they can win all four of those, don't be surprised if they're not the four seed. We saw them, and they played extremely well against us. I know they played really well against Brookings. Beat Mitchell on their home court. So yeah, I mean, but that's how it is this year. Outside of those top three. Those next 10-12 teams get hot. They're going to find themselves in the five seed, in the high seed, I should say, and playing a home game. So a lot's going to change. You drive yourself crazy watching it, which I already have, and we'll see what happens for the next week.
Cody Cobman, head coach here on Tiger Girls, as they sit at 7-11 and wrap up the season. Doubleheader Tuesday, O'Gorman. Doubleheader at home Friday with Brandon Valley. We'll be back here from Coach Tim Budenhagen next on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning. We're back on Dakota Sports Saturday as we talk with Tim Budenhagen, head boys basketball coach for Huron. Comments Coach Bud made after the game last night. Huron, a 57-52 win over Watertown, kind of the same method of operation this team has had this year. I had a 13-point lead in the third quarter, pretty much led the game from the beginning of the second quarter on, 13-point leads in the third quarter, although Watertown got it back to a one-possession game a couple of different times in the fourth quarter, but here on key free throws, were able to pull out the win, and Bud gets first things first. Sometimes it just feels like this team can't stand prosperity.
Well, we do, and we did the little things wrong that we don't normally do. When the shot clock was winding down, Norberg's going to the rim, let him shoot the two, but we help from ball side, and all of a sudden they snap it, and the guy has no other course because the shot clock's winding down, and he's got to shoot it. We have got to stay strong on that, and then we let two get to the top of the key late third quarter when we're up 10. We didn't talk. We got stuck on a screen, supposedly, and now he shoots the three, knocks it down. All those little things that make a huge difference. When we didn't box out the first half, they got two offensive rebounds late, and then we can't run because they're pounding offensive glass, and our guys are shoved underneath the rim. We got to step back and box out. But our kids hung in there. I mean, it didn't look good for a while in that late and fourth quarter, and we just hung in there. Showed some resiliency, showed some patience, and then shut them down at the end.
Both teams, you can say this, and us especially, because that's who we're worried about, but left points on the floor. The free throws weren't great tonight. In the first quarter especially, we had so many point-blank shots, we just couldn't get to go right underneath the basket. And it's games like this, you just don't want to let a team like Watertown hang in there. And, it was things like that that did allow them to hang in.
Well, they're playing loose. I mean, they have nothing to lose, everything to gain. If they beat us, that would propel them into the DAC 16, I'm sure. But give them credit. They hit shots when they needed to. They put the ball down, got to the rim. We were going no help. which means that we're just sticking on to shooters. We weren't giving anybody any help. But that means I got to close a gate. I got to make it a little bit tougher for them to score. When I open up the gate, I expose the basket, and the guys got a direct line drive. So we got to work on getting our butt covering the rim and then making sure that our gate stays closed. Like I said, give them credit. They hit some shots. But then at the other end, we were patient enough to work the ball around, get to the free throw line, make a couple at the end, extend the lead, and then we could go offense and defense, which helps us out a ton.
Blake Elwine leads the way again with 24 points, also 10 rebounds, so a double-double last night for Blake. You know, he gets 24 points. The whole place knows that the focus is getting him the ball. But on the other hand, he had a couple of nice dishes, a pretty pass there late in the game to Davis Chase. Davis was fouled, knocked down the free throws. But, you know, we saw a lot of the other things than dunks and things like that from Blake.
Well, he changes shots at the defense end, gets some big rebounds on the defense end. And when he has the ball, other guys got to pay attention to him. So now you're going to be open. So you got to make yourself available where he can find you, because he is unselfish. And I thought he did a nice job of finding guys. A couple times I thought he should have been a little bit more selfish, like the baseline drive where he threw the bounce pass and threw it on the baseline. But there's a ton of pressure. I mean, the whole community of Huron's kind of on our shoulders, and he's got to shoulder that burden. So I think he played a little tight. He and I are going to have a little talk that he's just got to play relaxed. He's got to, when he's relaxed and he lets the game come to him, and he works at different speeds, he's a really good basketball player. I thought he played a little tight.
And then look at Anderson Porish. He ended up with 10 points too, including a couple of key free throws, and then really the points that ended it on the long pass from Blake there right at the end of the game. And, you know, Anderson, you know, he's just the steady guy. He's terribly hard to read, but bottom line is, you know, sometimes you forget he's still a sophomore.
Yeah, he's terribly hard on himself. He wants perfection. He's not going to get it. Right now, you know, teams are playing him for the drive, so they're backing off. So what he has to do is, once he gets to the free throw line, he's got to jump stop and pull that jumper, because he's got a really nice tweener jumper. So we got to work more on that with him. I thought he went to the boards hard. I thought he defended well. He does the little things, and I thought, you know, he was steady. And again, he was a double-digit scorer. We got to continue to progress now, because every game's going to be important to us. And he's going to get some really good, really hard defensive matchups.
You know, and then Davis Chase, I think he was frustrated in the first half, just had the 1 point. But, boy, you could see he had a nice recovery in the second half, 9 points. He had a couple of key free throws as well.
Well, it was they call him for rapping. Well, when the guy's hugging you, it's kind of hard not to rap him. So we had to discuss that, how he's going to do that. But here's what we got to do. We got to set him off the box, and then we got to have somebody back screen him into the box, because otherwise, if I just stand on the box, the defense knows where I'm at. So we got to make him more mobile. He's more comfortable with his back to the basket on the box. So what we got to do is make sure we get him out away from the box, back screen him, and then get him going to the rim, and then post him up, so his guys got to chase him around the perimeter a little bit.
You know, on the bench, I got some quality minutes off of there. As you mentioned earlier, had the defense for offense switches there. When we're on defense, Colby Hofer, Colt McNeil would be in, then Miles Elwine and Trace Wins would come back in when we thought we might be at the free throw line, and everybody played their role in those sequences.
Yeah, Trace didn't feel very good. He was sick. He gutted it out at the end. I thought, you know, he hit that first three-pointer, and then we didn't find him the rest of the game, and we got to continue to find him. But he's long, he's lengthy, jumps well. I thought he did a great job for us. Miles steps out, hits a three. Bubba and Colton and Hof had those tough defensive matchups, as did Mason Juergens. Ty Kleinsasser, we're trying to rotate him in that offensive spot. We got to continue to, you know, evolve those guys, because when teams go boxing one, triangling two, zone, now we got an offensive crew and defensive crew that, you know, can help us out.
So now we look ahead. At this time next week, we'll be finished up with the regular season. Obviously, we'll be watching that seeding here moving forward. But two tough games, two top five teams. O'Gorman on Tuesday there, which, again, another tough place to play. Then ESD title on the line next Friday with Brandon Valley coming to our place. But obviously, O'Gorman is the first one up. They might be thinking a little bit about last year when we beat them twice, including that Sodak 16.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be a great atmosphere. I mean, their guards are awfully tough. And they got some inside guys, so it's going to be a great game, I think. We're going to have to go down there, play our tails off. I think if we can beat them, we can jump them, maybe get into the top five. But we'll see. We'll give them some rest and then get back at it on Sunday night and practice Sunday, Monday, go OG, and then championship week. We're going to play for an ESD title, which is really exciting for us. I don't know if we've won it in about 5 years. So for us, it's a really excited. This was a really big step for us. So I think our guys played a little tight. Well, we'll be a lot looser next week.
2020 would have been the last ESD title there with Kobe Bush, Tegan Evers, and that bunch. So, hey, 13-5, one victory more than the regular season last year, but we're not looking at that. We're looking to March.
Yep, we're looking to March. We just got to keep on progressing, get better. I think this assures us of a home game now in the DAC 16, so that's a relief. We know we're going to be playing at home, and then whoever comes there, we're going to be ready.
You know, Tiger boys basketball coach Tim Budenhagen, his comments last night post-game after the five-point win over Watertown. Coach Bud unable to come in this morning live as they're celebrating an anniversary this weekend. His in-laws, Ty and Vereen Wacker, just went past 60-year anniversary, so congratulations to them. And I know the family's all getting together, and they're going to do a little celebrating today, and deservedly so. So here on Tiger Boys Basketball is now at 13-5 with two games remaining. A doubleheaders this coming week at O'Gorman Tuesday, then home against Brandon Valley on a Friday. The Tiger Boys currently situated the number 7 seed in AA Boys with a chance to move up with a couple of wins against, obviously, very good opponents here next Tuesday and Friday. And Friday, well, it's still anybody's toss-up, I guess, here, but here on Brandon Valley and Mitchell all vying for that ESD regular season crown. For Huron, it's pretty simple. Get a win over Brandon Valley, and the Huron boys will be ESD champions for 2024-2025. We'll take a break here. Dakota Sports Saturday continues. It's the postseason now for Huron Tiger Wrestling. The boys are headed to Region 3 out in Eagle Butte today. And we'll get the gist on everything from head coach Matt Goth next as Dakota Sports Saturday continues on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Back on Dakota Sports Saturday, we're going to talk here on Tiger Boys Wrestling with head coach Matt Goth. The Tigers in Eagle Butte today, the Region 3 tournament hosted by Cheyenne Eagle Butte, and basically got to finish in the top four today in order to advance to next weekend's state wrestling tournament. And coach, as we look at that, sounds simple, but it isn't so simple in a lot of cases. Guys are going to have to work to get themselves to state today.
Yep. Winning this first match is important for a lot of our guys. We're sitting in the 4-5 seed quite a bit. So winning that first round will set yourself up for the rest of the day. Being ready to wrestle is very important at this tournament, and stepping on the mat looking for the next point all day is what we got to work on all day.
Well, we'll get back to the region here, but let's just kind of do a little recap of the season. You know, when you started in December, you still had some unknowns. Had a few kids come out after the fact. We've had some injuries, had a couple of weights where we just weren't able to fill. So overall, we're kind of a young team, except where we're not, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, we have four seniors wrestling for us today, and then other than that, we have some younger sophomores and freshmen that are out there wrestling, and hopefully we get quite a few wins from those guys so they can set the tone for the next couple of years for themselves by being a state qualifier or a state place winner this year.
Well, we'll just start with the obvious, and that's Moses Gross at 150. He didn't get start wrestling till after the new year, kind of split his time between 157 and 150. But he settled in at 150, and obviously he's going to be a favorite there with a multi-state championships under his belt.
Yeah, Moses should be the favorite for this tournament. He's just like any other match, one match at a time. Move on to the next round as fast as you can. Don't give anybody a chance to put you to your back or anything like that. And just keep the match clean and wrestle your style all weekend.
Well, let's just run down the rest of the lineup here. As you said, you figure there's a lot of fours, a lot of five seeds there, putting a lot of emphasis on the first round for the kids. Just kind of go through each weight, who's wrestling there, and what, you know, what the weight class kind of looks like. We say each year going into the regions, there are some classes or there are some weights that are stronger than others in a region format.
Yeah, at 106 today we have Emmerich Dine wrestling. He's a little bit small for a 106-pounder this year, but he's had some good wins. He sits right in that area where we have to win that first-round match to set ourselves up for the rest of the day. And if it doesn't, we just keep wrestling all day. And next point is big for him, keeping your head straight and wrestling for that next point. Even if you're down, just keep attacking and getting to your stuff. At 113, we have Carter Nelson. Carter's had a pretty good season throughout the year. He had a couple of bad losses late in the season. Hopefully we're ready to turn that around and get back to where we were about a month ago. And he's got a good shot at getting to state and even being on the podium next weekend as well. At 120, we have senior Alec Pester. He's been wrestling pretty well the last couple of weeks and just have to get to our stuff, be on the attack, and look for those points as well. At 126, we have Brady Meyer. Brady has spent some time at 132, and 126 suits him a little better for his size and his wrestling style. Just being on the attack, he's pretty good on top, so when we have the ability to put points up on the board when we're on top, we got to be looking to put those points on the scoreboard. We're open at 132, and at 138, we have CJ Sweetfrog. He's another one. He's a fast starter. He gets off to a good start. We just have to be able to control the match when we get those early takedowns and early points and put ourselves in position to win. We'll have another tough matchup right away. So being able to score those early points, get that early win, will set us up for the rest of the day. At 144, we have Tegan Lean. He's probably in one of the deeper weight classes of the tournament. Tegan's wrestled pretty well all season, but we have some of the top-rated kids in this region, so getting out of here is going to be kind of tough. Like I said, from a lot of our guys, this first round can set our tone for the rest of the day. Even if we don't win it, we got to be able to wrestle back on the backside. He's another one that can get off to a good start, but if he starts getting bullied and underhooks and stuff like that, we got to be able to wrestle out of positions we're not comfortable in. At 150, we have Moses, who we already talked about. At 157, we have another senior, Angelo Medina. He's missed most of February, and he's back in the lineup now, so hopefully we can see where we land today. Haven't seen a lot at 157. He's wrestled 150 when he's been in the lineup, so we'll see how he fares with the region lineup today. 165, we have TJ Lean. He sits pretty good in the bracket. He's he's the three seed, and hopefully we can move on and just advance to next week and set ourselves up to a place at the state tournament. At 175, we have Lucas Shaparo back in the lineup. He's been in and out of the lineup. When he's in the lineup, he wrestles pretty well. So staying healthy for him today and getting to the points and getting to the legs and scoring is going to be important for him to get through this bracket. And then we're open at 190 and 215. And at heavyweight, we have Noah Owen. Noah Owen's another one of those kids that came out late this year. He's just a freshman, and he's been improving every day in the room. So we're excited to see what he can do in a varsity tournament today.
You know, and that's the thing with, you said four seniors and then a lot of younger kids there. And, this, in many ways, and you experienced it when you're in high school as well, and now as a coach as well, this region meet is a lot tougher to prepare for mentally than a state meet because, you know, you have to get through today in order to advance to state.
Yep, you just have to be in the mindset to take it one match at a time. Nothing else matters. Don't look past anybody. Go score your points, go do what you're best at, get to your positions, your attacks, and set yourself up for the match and for the rest of the week.
You know, and just looking at the region lineup here, too, you see Mitchell, you see Pierre, you see Aberdeen, obviously three heavyweights, especially Aberdeen and Pierre here in the past season. Madison, he always used to be Milbank in that spot. Now it's Madison along with Chamberlain, Cheyenne Eagle Butte, and, of course, the Huron Tigers. So kind of a mix there, you know, like, for instance, say, take a Todd County, for instance. How much of them have you actually seen this season?
We've seen them two times. So we see them out at the Rapid Invite and then also in Chamberlain. So we've seen them a couple of times. We've only had a couple matchups with them, being both meeting up with them. We were in tournaments. So our region covers a big area, so it's hard to wrestle everybody in our region multiple times. So the ones that are in the ESD, we obviously see quite a few times. But after that, seeing those guys is tough with our schedule.
And just overall, you know, doesn't matter what the sport is, I've every coach say, you know, once you get to the postseason, it's the seniors that got to lead, the seniors that got to carry you, the seniors, you know, that the other kids need to follow. So, you know, this senior group, I think, is a very solid group. So hopefully, you know, they can help, you know, help themselves out first off and also help out some of those younger kids maybe under these lights for the first time.
Yeah, we got to get the people that have been in this tournament before to set the tone for us. People that have placed at regions before. So we have three returning state qualifiers. Moses, TJ, and Lucas have all made it to the state tournament. So those three, and then some of those other seniors that have done stuff, and Brady Meyer qualified a couple of years ago. So they know what it takes to get to the next level. So we've got to lean on those guys to get us started off on the right foot so we can continue our momentum all day.
And wrap it up with this. I always say this. I know it's cliche, but hard to believe. We're already looking at the end of the season. Seems like just a few weeks ago you were preparing for those Watertown duels, the traditional opener. But bottom line is that was about 2.5 months ago. Have you seen the strides forward with this? You know, the bottom line is you wrestle for a lot of things during the season, but everything's leading up really to today.
Yeah. Every match we look at it as a practice, just finding ways to get better as individuals and as wrestlers. So hopefully we're set up for the next couple of weeks and we have a good finish to our season.
Matt Goth here on Tiger Boys Wrestling Coach. The Tigers are headed west as there will be an Eagle Butte today. Cheyenne Eagle Butte is the host of a Region 3 Wrestling that starts later this morning. Need to place in the top four in order to advance to next week's state wrestling tournament out in Rapid City. They do wrestle off through five places as fifth place winners will have a chance if there's an injury or an illness default to have a chance to make the state tournament field as well. So again, good luck to Huron Tiger wrestlers. Boy, postseason coming up for another sport here for our winter today with high school wrestling. Up next, we have Territorial Rodeo Update brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.